Well, good morning. This morning, I'll be sharing a message with you. I hope you're excited because I am excited. And this week has been a really great week at the church that we've had with things happening with our guest, Dale. And I'm excited for tonight, just being able to share what God has done in people's lives over this past week. And I'm also excited for what God is going to do, not only tonight, but in the future as we commit our life to Him. Today, I just want to basically continue on even what Dale was speaking on last Sunday, and he spoke about he spoke on a message titled "There Is More," and he talked about how there's so much more in this life that we are to inherit and do and accomplish and receive from the Lord. This is not it. There is more. And just a few days ago, I was walking on my front lawn, and we have this huge tree in front of our house that just gives us a gift of leaves every fall. And I got to walk on those leaves, and I could just hear the crunching of the leaves in front of my... it's so nice to live in a mature neighborhood. You can hear the crunching of the leaves under your feet. And I had this idea that this coming up weekend, my boys are going to help me collect these leaves. It was a great idea. And they helped actually do that yesterday. It was wonderful. But then I started walking around back, and then I realized that I have this massive apple tree that has never produced more fruit than this year. This is the most fruit I've ever seen on an apple tree in my entire life. If you guys ever came to my backyard, you know what I'm talking about. This tree is almost as big as our house, and there is so many beautiful red apples that I don't really know what to do with them. So if you would like some apples after the service, please talk to me. I can try to figure something out. But yesterday, I asked one of my boys to help me with it when I was talking about going up the tree and shaking the tree so that the apples would come down, because that was the only way to actually reach, because it's tall and it's big. One of my boys, Luca, asked me, "Dad, do you want to die?" "No, I don't want to die, but I'm going to do something that I haven't done in a very long time. I climbed up that tree yesterday. I don't know how I did that, but I guess I still got, you know, whatever that is, to climb up the tree." And I have survived, but I was up there shaking this tree so hard that you could just see apples flying everywhere. And I had a revelation moment when one of the big apples actually fell right on my head. It hurt pretty bad because it was a massive apple. And I thought to myself, wow, isn't this what Christian life is all about? This is how we're supposed to live as Christians. We're supposed to be fruitful and we are to bear fruit. And this is what it looks like to serve the Lord. And in that moment, I realized, okay, I'm going to share a message tomorrow at the church about what it means to walk in favor of the Lord and what it means to actually not only survive in this life, but to actually thrive. I remember a few years ago talking to my dad about life, and he would always ask me, "So how's it going?" And I would go into this, I would say, "Well, you know, we're surviving." And I talk to a lot of people nowadays when I'm talking to them, and people respond to me and they say, I ask them, "How are you doing?" "Oh, I'm just surviving. We are surviving another day. And we're just one day at a time closer to Jesus. We're just getting by, surviving." And that is basically their life. We are surviving. And then just with what's been happening over the past week, and just even thinking about the Christian life and what it's supposed to be like, we're not only meant to survive, but we are meant to thrive. And my dad, I remember talking to me when I said, "You know, I'm just surviving. You know, we're surviving." And he said, "Well, David, you know, when I look at your life, you're actually not surviving. You're thriving." And I remember having a conversation, and he said, "You know, you are so far, you're so much more far ahead than I was at your age and stage of life, that this was my prayer that's being answered for you personally." And then I had a revelation moment, that moment of saying, yes, my dad always wanted me to not be like him, but to be better than him. And then me as a parent, and you, if you have kids or you have grandkids, you know what I'm talking about, you want the same for your kids. You don't want your kids to just go by this life and just survive, but you want them to be better than you and to thrive, right? And that there's a joy in me as a parent seeing my kids doing way better at their age and stage of life now than what I was doing at their age and stage of life when I was in that age. So then it dawned on me, the same desire that I have for my kids today to thrive and to succeed and to do better than me is the same desire and thought that God has in his mind for us, his children. Amen. He wants us to thrive, not just survive. And Jesus mentioned the same example. He said, which one of you, if the child would ask you for a bread, would give your child a rock? Nobody. Ask and it shall be given to you, Jesus mentioned. See, God has put this favor, this blessing upon our life, and we are not just to survive day to day, but we are to thrive. And what actually thrive means, I looked up in the dictionary, this is what it actually means. It means to grow vigorously. To grow vigorously, to progress forward despite the circumstances. Not just trying to survive another day, but the goal and the will of God for us and for you and your life and my life, is to thrive, to progress. And how do I know this? There's a lot of scriptures. I'm going to point a couple of them here, but one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 1, talks about us, if we delight in the law of the Lord and we're close to Jesus and we spend time in God's presence, that we will flourish. And he talks about us as being a tree, this picture of my apple tree, planted beside the river that's bearing fruit. And this is what the verses say. The person that has God in their life is like a person that is a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, whose leaves do not wither, and whatever they do prospers. Yes. Then Jesus came with another verse in John 10:10. He said, the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come to give you a life. And not only any kind of life, not a life of survival from day to day, living to survive just another day, but a life of abundance. He says, I came that my sheep may have a life, life in abundance. Romans 8:37. No, God says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or even think, according to the power that is at work within us. And finally, 1 Corinthians 15:57 says this, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. So in summary, we can all clearly see here that in Christ, God is calling us to thrive and not just survive. So I thought about the survival instinct, and I know if somebody was going to throw you in the sea, you're on the open sea and you throw in a deep end, our survival instinct would kick in, which is natural, and we would try to swim and not go under, right? And I thought about how that's something that we all are born with. We're all born with this survival instinct. But when we receive God in our life, we are supposed to kick into a thrival instinct. I made up that word just for this Sunday. Thrival instinct, which means, and I try to illustrate this as best possible as I can, when I go to, like, you know, summer days, you're on the beach, instead of just swimming, I don't know if any of you has ever done this, but you just decide to lay on water and relax and let the water carry you, and you just sort of, like, you're just enjoying the moment, enjoying the sunshine, floating on the water. Doesn't matter what's going around, you're just floating on the water. And people have said multiple times, if there is a storm, you're out swimming in, you're about, you're just supposed to let float in a storm. Because if you're trying to swimming out, you lose the energy and you might just go under. Preserving the energy on the water to just enjoy life as if, like, God is in control. So thriving, I've realized, surviving is an instinctual thing that we all have an instinct, but thriving is a choice that we have to make daily. Instead of asking, well, how am I going to survive today when you wake up in the morning, which has happened to me multiple times over and over again, and it'll probably happen again. How am I going to survive today? The question that we should be asking that is a better question is, how am I going to thrive today? Despite my circumstances, and despite what's going on, despite what things have been done, what hasn't been done, things that are coming at me, how am I going to thrive? How am I going to flourish? And that is another word for thrive. Flourish, bear fruit. Man, I have been blessed with so many apples this year, and I haven't even realized how blessed I am. I mean, we can eat apples for the next 3 months and be blessed and have all kinds of different apple sauces and apple jams and apple juices and just live off of the apple tree that we have in our backyard. But sometimes it takes a little bit for you to realize, wow, I really have been blessed. Really living with God is so much better than living without God. And I have been blessed even this year, looking at my life and the way God has blessed us. Man, I've been so blessed. And I've been in the favor of the Lord, walking in the favor of the Lord. And I want to continue on like that. Now, this morning, I want to ask you a question. Do you feel like you're stuck in a survival mode? Day to day, you wake up. And it's either fight or flight. That is what survival mode is. You're either going to fight it, or you're going to either fight, or you're going to disappear in flight. Fight and flight. Fight and flight. But you were meant for so much more than just survival. We are to switch our mind, our mindset, and instead of saying, I'm going to just survive another day, I just got to get to this day, I'm just going to get this day so I can get to heaven, we're meant to thrive. So you're meant to thrive, not just survive. We are blessed. We're highly favored. And Christian life is not just about eternal life, which is a big part of it for us, inheriting that and going towards heaven. But it's actually, Christian life is about bringing heaven on earth today into every situation that we are facing. So to thrive, we need to realize a few things. Number one, you need to realize who you are. You're a child of God, and your Father is in heaven. Number two, you need to realize that if you're facing something hard, God is not mad at you. He is with you right there in the situation you're in. Number three, you have to realize that God has a plan for your life. And number four, you have to realize that His plans have good outcomes in every situation. It doesn't matter if the situation is good or bad, there's going to be a good outcome that will come out of this. See, most Christians are just trying to get home to Jesus. 90% of Christians, I'm just trying to get to heaven. And they miss out on so much that God wants to do here while we're here. So two types of people that live in this world. It's the people that are either surviving or thriving. And it's almost like seeing someone thriving is almost crazy and weird. Wow, look at them. They're doing so great. How's that possible? I'm just over here just trying to survive another day. Well, I don't think that Jesus really went to the cross to die for us so that we would be down and haggard and depressed, but He actually went to the cross so that we would blossom and that we would thrive. He went to the cross that we would have joy of the Lord that would overtake us. He went to the cross that we would have gladness that would come into our heart and be stronger than any bad emotion that we have in our flesh. See, God never intended us to survive, but He intended us to reflect the glory of Jesus Christ. So we need to flip the script and flip this narrative in our mind. We're not here on this earth just to survive. We're here to thrive. We're here to blossom. We're here to arise. We're here to shine. So there's a story in the scriptures that really spoke to me when I was preparing this message, and it's a story of a blind man, blind beggar, which you have already heard maybe you haven't. We're going to go through it together in Mark 10. But this is a story about a blind man named Bartimaeus. I guess that's how you pronounce it. But how about this morning we just call him Bart? Because Bart is very Canadian or North American. So Bart was living his day to day. He was living in a survival mode, and he was asking for money every single day so that he would get by. He would go wake up in the morning. He would go sit on the road where people were passing, and he would be begging for money. He was living from In our terms, if you're going to translate, he was living from paycheck to paycheck on the mercy of other people, and whatever happens, happened for the day. And that was the way he lived. Now, people probably looked at him, and they saw compassion. They gave him money one day. Another day, they didn't give him money. And people probably had the same opinion of him. You know, he's just here to survive. I mean, what is he going to do? He's blind. But even though he was blind, he was not deaf. And one of the things that happened is he heard that someone was coming into town, and his name was Jesus from Nazareth. Now, let's read this story together, and I'm just going to pull a couple of principles to share with you this morning. And the story goes on like this. Mark 10, 46 to 52, it says this. Then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man named Bart, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Now many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and he said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man. They said, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. And the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus along the road. Here's an example of a guy that we can look at and we can say, wow, what if I was like him? What are some of the things that we can actually take from his story and move from the survival mode to a thrival mode? And here's the first thing that we can read in his story is, we are to seize the day, which means seize the opportunity, make a request. And in the scriptures, in other scriptures, in Ephesians 5, 15, 17, it says this, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. So, like Bart did, he made the most of opportunity that was coming at him. You see, every single day of our life as humans, we have been given a new chance. It's a new gift, a new day, a new opportunity for us to either survive or thrive. And I can tell you, if you are alive today, sitting here or listening online, you woke up this morning, you need to choose and pick, what are you going to do? You're either going to seize the day, you're going to make the most of every opportunity, or you're just going to go into a survival mode. And for all of us, it may look different, you know, in a way. Obviously there's people that didn't wake up today. But if you woke up today, I'm here to tell you that there is hope and there is another chance for you to actually seize the day and make the most of every opportunity. See, every single day we have opportunities presented to us. First, obviously, opportunities that God is putting in our way that sometimes we just simply miss out because we are too stuck in this survival mode. You know, we're stuck in going in circles and we're continuously thinking, well, how am I going to get through this? How are things going to work out? What's going to happen here? You know, we get overwhelmed with worry instead of, how am I to thrive in this situation? How am I to thrive today? What can I do here? Or what is God teaching me here that I can use to thrive and get ahead with the plans and purposes that God has for my life today? We often forget the simple truth that Jesus left us with. And this is what he said in his famous Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Ask and it shall be given to you." Bart, our good friend Bart, saw an opportunity that was coming his way. He's heard about this man named Jesus, and he's heard that Jesus was going to pass by. He did not think twice. He sees the day, he sees the opportunity, and he asked. He made a request. It is just a simple principle in life that if we learn by just asking God, and just like he did, asking Jesus, he wanted to get somewhere. I mean, he could have just get into that survival mode and just go to the side of the road and just let this opportunity pass by. He could have just sat there asking for money like he did every single day, but he wanted more. Instead of a regular day and a regular day routine, that he said, he saw this opportunity that was being presented right in front of his eyes, spiritual eyes. And he was not going to miss it just like that. And if I'm being honest with you here this morning, in my life, I have missed multiple opportunities that God has presented in front of me, right in front of my face, that I later regretted because I didn't seize and I did not make the most of every opportunity. And I've made a promise myself, and I'm trying to live to the best of my ability, that whenever the Lord is calling me, he's nudging me, he's leading me, he wants me to do something, I will not be disobedient, I will not say no. I want to do as he says, because it's always better if I do as he says. I know also that I have missed a lot of opportunities in my life because I haven't asked. And Jesus has also mentioned this in his famous Sermon on the Mount. He says, you have not because you ask not. You don't have things because you don't ask for things. So, is it possible that we just don't have something in our life because we just don't make a request? We don't ask? Is it possible that, as simple as that, we can miss an opportunity that will come forward to us, even on a Sunday morning when we're asked to come forward and give a request to God? So, when an opportunity comes, and we have a lot more opportunities each day than we think, we are to seize the day and take those opportunities. When Jesus shows up in our life, in our situation, in our room, in our kitchen, whatever we are to seize the day and make the best of that opportunity. See, Bart has seized the day. He received his reward. He was healed physically, but he was also healed spiritually because it tells us that he started following Jesus. That day, that was the moment that his whole life changed. Now, there was a lot of other people in the scriptures that we can also read about that did not make the best of every opportunity. And there was a story of a rich young ruler that came to Jesus, and he asked Jesus, what shall I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus told him, well, you have to do this, 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 and this. And then he said, well, I'm already doing this. And then Jesus said, okay, well, your heart is not in the right place. Your heart is against the riches of this world. And your God is not, your God is money. So just go and sell everything that you have and come follow me. And he had a really hard time understanding that and doing that. So that, therefore, he missed an opportunity that was presented before him. And that's a lesson for us, that we are not to miss opportunities that are presented to us every single day. The second thing that we can learn from this story is that we are to ignore the noise. Ignore the noise. You see, I wish this only meant we are just to put a noise-canceling headphones on our head and cover our ears and just turn on the noise cancellation and just eliminate all the noise around us, which actually is a pretty good illustration for us to talk about this in spiritual sense. You know, I don't know if you've ever used noise-canceling headphones. I have. It is amazing. You go to the airports, you get busy traffics and stuff like that. You put this thing on. You know, I'm vacuuming sometimes, and I put this thing on, and it's like, where's the vacuum? I can't hear it. Like, it's beautiful. It really is. But to talk about the noise canceling in a spiritual sense, you know, sometimes it's easier said than done. But we have a lot of voices that we're exposed to every single day, especially in this day and age with social media and internet and just being able to access everything right in the palm of our hands. And even with people that we have around us, people that love us, people that want the best for us, sometimes there's noise that's in a way of us accomplishing great things for God or experiencing the great move of God because we are not listening to the right voice, and we are not ignoring the noise. You see, God wants to move in our life. He wants us to thrive. He wants us to see His purposes be accomplished in our life. But I've seen it so many times that those moves of God and those purposes of God do get halted because someone has said something or someone has discouraged someone from doing something that God has put in their heart and they didn't receive what God had for them. In this case of our good friend Bart, what we see is a typical life of someone in trouble, long enough for people to write him off and not give him much hope. This happens to obviously people that have been in trouble for too long, but it also happens to everyone, every single one of us in our life. We get caught in this surrounding. We surround ourselves with people that actually are not there. They can be even good friends, but they're not helping us get on with the purposes of God for our life. So we listen to the voices of people instead of the voices of the Spirit that's in us. Instead of saying, what are these people saying? We should be asking a question, what is the Spirit saying to me right now? What is the Spirit saying? You see, Bart, he wanted Jesus to hear him. So he started yelling, Jesus, ever so loud. He said, Jesus, have mercy on me. And with all the chaos and all the crowds, people came up to him and they just told him, shh. He has no time for you. He's too busy. Everybody else around here he's already busy with every single problem. He's trying to meet every single need. In other words, God doesn't care about your situation, all right? Just keep sitting there, doing what you're doing, and be happy with that. But you've been too much in this pain. You don't really have time to listen to those voices. You want to get past that. And you want to listen to the voice inside of you, the voice of the Spirit. When I was young, I really haven't had a lot of people say things to me like, you know, stop chasing what you're chasing. You won't get it. Ah, it's a waste of time. Don't just hope too much. You'll never amount to anything. All these things. Matter of fact, I had good parents. My parents were telling me all the positives. You know, God has a great plan for your life. You're gonna do well. We want the best for you. All that kind of stuff. Now, I know a lot of people have not had that, but I'm here to tell you that every negative voice in our life that's trying to steer us away from the purposes of God, we are to completely try and ignore as much as we can. And we are to, when people try to silence us and they try to tell us, no, God doesn't care about you. There's way too many problems in the world right now and you are the least important. You are to say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Because God specifically cares about you personally. He specifically cares about every single person in Israel as well, in Palestine. He specifically cares about every single person that's going through suffering in every part of the world, but He also specifically cares about your own personal suffering in your own life. There's too many negative voices around us, but we are to get these spiritual noise-canceling headphones, put them on. Sometimes it's annoying when you drive down the street and it's always the young people. But yes, the young people have these headphones because they're a little more advanced and you're trying to drive and then there's this person just comes right in front of you. They have these headphones and they're just like going at it and you're just beeping and they just don't care about you. And I've actually stopped beeping and getting upset over those things because those noise-canceling headphones are really good. So why would I even try anymore? So when you put those spiritual noise-canceling headphones and you do what God wants you to do, wow, you move from this survival to thrival in a matter of seconds, and you see the fruits in your life blossom. You see, not only it affects you personally, but it affects everybody else around you as well. And here's the third thing that we need to do to thrive in this life instead of survive. We need to rely on the Spirit help. You see, in the Bible, faith and boldness have always entered and come by the Spirit. If you look at what Jesus was talking about when he was leaving this earth, and he said, it's better for me to go because there's going to be a spirit that will come down, and you are to go and pray, and you are not to stop praying until you receive this spirit. And when you receive this spirit, the Bible tells us you will have this new power. You will have this new boldness. You will have this new faith that you're going to be able to conquer the world with. And that's exactly what happened with the apostles. They were praying, and they were not going to leave this place until they received the Spirit. Once the Spirit came, the same Spirit, the same power that's presented to us and lives in us today, they got this new faith, they got this new boldness, and they went. People were getting healed, people were getting delivered, people saw the move of God happen. You see, people who live according to flesh and their own desires are the people who will always lack faith and boldness. But if we walk by the Spirit, we will experience the fullness of Christ, his power, and we will see him move in the ways that we never thought possible. The Holy Spirit hears, he speaks, he teaches, he guides us into all the truth. He's the only one who can empower us to get through any situation that we're facing that's not good. He's the only one that can empower us and give us enough faith to overcome whatever circumstance we're facing. He's the only one that can give us the power to win and have victory in every situation. He's the only one that gives us power to even speak the words of healing, encouragement, strength. Speak the words of Jesus to this lost generation, lost world, and for people to be affected, to come into the fellowship with Jesus. See, Jesus replied to Bart. He said, your faith has healed you. It was his faith that healed him. He acknowledged his faith as a catalyst for the healing. And he wasn't just sitting there passively waiting for Jesus. But when Jesus said, go, come to me, he got encouraged all of a sudden because, you know, Jesus was paying attention. And he threw his cloak off. He started walking towards Jesus. And that actually tells us something about what we are to do as well in faith. It mirrors this wonderful principle in our life that even though faith is very foundational, we have faith. It also requires us to make some proactive steps, to take a bold action, to be willing to leave what's comfortable, what's familiar, and to go into the uncomfortable that God is calling us to. And in summary, this story of Bart teaches us to thrive in life, to seize every opportunity, to ignore the noise, and to rely on the power of the Spirit that's in us. You see, Jesus, God, has already given us everything that we need to live a life of favor, to blossom, to bear fruit. And sometimes, just like that apple tree that needed some shaking in my backyard to get some apples down, we need some shaking to get the fruit out of us. But that shaking that we experience in life is just supposed to bring more blessings, closer to God. It's supposed to encourage us, supposed to grow us in patience, in character, and in hope, like Romans talks about. We are to live this life of abundance that Jesus talks about. We are to thrive. In Shawshank Redemption movie, there's a line that I really love. I've seen that movie multiple times. And this is the line that is in the movie that kind of goes along with this message. It says, get busy living or get busy dying. Which one are you going to do? So let us get busy living. Let us get busy thriving, not just surviving. See, Satan's purpose is for us to be down, to be discouraged, his purpose is to steal from us, to kill us, to destroy us, to bring us down to our knees, begging, how am I going to survive the next day? How am I going to survive this? But Jesus' purpose for us is to thrive, to blossom, to flourish, to prosper, to succeed, and to thrive every single day of our life until the day we go and meet him face to face. So what we need to do is we need to strive to thrive. Not just survive, but thrive. We're not to miss out. We're not to sell ourselves short. We are to strive to thrive. Why don't we just all stand this morning? I want to pray for you. I want to encourage you. I want to pray for two things. First, I want to pray for you. If you have feel like you've been in this survival mode for long, I want to pray that you would, that God would, the Holy Spirit would help you switch from that survival to thrival, where you're going to say, I'm not just going to live another day to survive, but I'm actually going to live another day to thrive. And then I also want to pray for those of you that are facing really hard times. You're going through situations that are not easy, that you would see His Spirit moving in your difficult situation, and that Jesus would show you exactly what He's trying to accomplish in your life and how He wants you to thrive in that difficult circumstance. So I want to pray for you. If we can all bow down, close our eyes. Father God, I thank You for these people here this morning. I thank You for your encouraging message for us, and the example of a gentleman that was blind, but now he sees. And that is the greatest hymn that's ever been written. I was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. And it is by this amazing grace that we live our life. According to it, we want to live this life, not just surviving merely day by day, but actually thriving each day of our life, God. I pray that You would help us to switch that mindset, that we're not here just to survive. We're not here just to get to heaven, but we are here to bring heaven on earth. So help us to live a life like that, to be positive, to be encouraging, to walk in victory, to walk in abundance that You are giving us. Let our soul prosper, even in this moment. And I just pray for everyone that's facing difficult situations and circumstances, that You would show them how they are to thrive. Show them what is it that You're doing in those situations that You want them to thrive in. Help people that are facing hard, difficult times, and give them hope for tomorrow. You came to give us hope for the future. You came to give us this new life, life in You that is life abundant. So we want to live like that. We want to walk like that. We want to proclaim that over our life, our families. We want to walk in the favor of the Lord all the days of our life. Pray all these things in Your name, and we say in Jesus' name, amen.